You know, I had a little definition of transhumanism, but see if you can help put it into human terms for us. What is it?
Well, I think that's a great definition that that you provided for your listeners. The way I like to think about the underlying theme of transhumanism is captured by that famous song that was linked to a recent presidential campaign, "Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow." Its basic premise, I think, is that the age of evolution is not over. It's really only just begun, and that humanity is not essentially the final product, that we're in the process of becoming something more than we are today.
Charlie Cam, what do you think?
Oh, I agree. I agree with Jim's definition, and I think that humans are not the end all. You know, we're a stepping stone, and I think it's not really that far away where we're going to be moving out of this biological substrate that we exist in currently and going into more of a technological one.
Ray Kurzweil, you take an interesting perspective to this, being the inventor and the futurist. Give me your perspective on transhumanism.
Well, an important perspective is that our technological change is going about 1,000 times faster than biological change, and we're really at the early stages of really extending who we are by merging with our technology. We're now able to understand, simulate, and reprogram our biology as information processes. We essentially have outdated software running in our bodies. We have 23,000 genes, which are really software programs that evolved thousands of years ago. And we now have the means to actually change them, not just designer babies, but designer baby boomers. We can turn genes off with RNA interference. We can add new genes with gene therapy. We're also going to be adding non-biological systems, for example, blood cell-sized devices that can go inside our bloodstream and keep us healthy from inside, and also go into our brains and interact with our biological neurons. And if all that sounds very futuristic, I'd point out we're doing it already with dozens of very impressive experiments in animals. When scientists cured type 1 diabetes in rats with the blood cell size device, another set of scientists at MIT actually have a device that can scout out cancer cells and destroy them. So this is what's happening today. And one further point I'd make is that all of this is accelerating. It's getting faster and faster. The power of information technology is doubling every year. That's a factor of 1,000 in 10 years. And 10 years from now, these technologies will be quite mature. Biotechnology will be mature. Nanotechnology will be getting traction. And we'll really be changing who we are, which is really not a new story. I mean, life expectancy was 37 in 1800. So we're already extending our horizons, but this is going to go into high gear in the years ahead.
You know, Ray, I played a game of chess today with a computer online that beat me in about 20 moves. A few years ago, I might have been able to beat those little electronic games that play chess with you.
Well, it's an interesting that you bring that up, because in the 80s, a routine chess player like you or me could defeat the best chess machines, and I made it. But I saw that the chess machines were doubling in power every year. They'd added 40 points to their chess score, and that put the crossover in 1998. So I predicted by 1998, a computer would take the world chess champion. Well, that seemed ridiculous in the 80s, and Kasparov was asked about that in 93, and he scoffed at it. But then it soared past him in 97. These technologies progress exponentially, and people don't think that way. They think linearly. They think the current pace of change will continue at the current pace, and don't take the acceleration of technology into consideration. So that's why things move more quickly, particularly when we take a long-term perspective.
Jim, humanity has always been looking for ways to improve our suffering, improve on disease, aging, and involuntary death. Why does it seem that now, through this definition of transhumanism, that it just might work this time?
Well, I think Ray captured it very well. We're at the beginning of a stage of accelerating change in which change is occurring with an exponentially increasing rate. And that really does change the nature of change itself. It means that things that were inconceivable a couple of years ago are now imminent possibilities. As Ray has written eloquently in his most recent book, The Singularity is Near, That means that it's very likely that within a matter of decades, human intelligence will no longer be the dominant form of intelligence on this planet.
Charlie, we've got you only for this hour, so I want to chat with you a little bit here about this conference that you're putting on, Transvision 2007, where you've put together a number of people, including Jim Gardner and Ray here, for this this event. What is it, and why did everyone decide to put one of these together?
Well, this conference is a conference that's held once a year. It's an annual international conference held all around the world. Last year it was in Helsinki, Finland. The year before that it was in Caracas, Venezuela. This year I petitioned to have it held in Chicago. And one of the things that I was hoping to do was to bring it more into the mainstream, bring it more into the forefront of the public eye, because these, I believe, this concept of transhumanism and nanotechnology and everything that Ray and James were just talking about need to be more out there. People are not aware of it. I mean, when you talk to people, they're not familiar with the term transhumanism, let alone nanotechnology, which is really pervasive in our society. It's just that people don't know it. And so that's why in the idea of bringing it to Chicago, I knew that I had an opportunity to make it bigger. And I thought in my mind, I said, well, and this may be, you know, unfortunate or however you want to look at it, but one way to bring attention is to bring celebrities to it. So I went around and tried to figure out who would be a likely candidate that would make it, you know, that would fit into this. And well, who came to mind but William Shatner? Captain Kirk, you know, is the leading character that represented a futuristic TV show where it wasn't, you know, about chaos in the future, but where people got along and it was advanced. In any case, he's going to come to our conference and he's going to talk about things that were on the Starship Enterprise that are now starting to come to fruition or will be in the near future. Not to mention he's a big fan of Ray Kurzweil. So, you know, having him there, we're going to have Ed Begley Jr. talk about you know, electric cars and things that he's doing. And, you know, I'm trying to bring more attention to this to these concepts.
Okay, and I assume you're going to get some major media showing up at this. At least I hope you do.
Well, yeah, I mean, we do have, you know, all the local affiliates that are trying to, you know, they want to come there, ABC, NBC, CBS, because they all have their own people trying to come to the event. And, you know, I'm trying to get as much publicity. It's great to be on your show to try to get the word out there. And we've got, and it's kind of like a snowball effect. As it comes down the hill, it's getting bigger. Because when they hear, you know, for example, if Ray is going to be there, other people, other scientists that are of his stature want to be a part of it. So it's kind of taken off in that way. And we do have a lot of great thinkers like, you know, Ray and James and Aubrey de Grey.